preachers need to preach all the Bible. They need to preach all the books, all the topics, the hard stuff, the easy stuff, the grace and the judgment. All Christian truth and application exists in some kind of tension. That is, any doctrine that you teach will have a complementary doctrine or one that seems to sort of pull in the other direction, and finding the biblical balance for that is the task of the faithful theologian, pastor, and mature Christian. At Hope, we emphasize, and we've just recently preached about, the emphasis, the importance of that local church and every local church to be preaching, proclaiming, and declaring the gospel message of Jesus in and out of season with frequency. In fact, it should be the case that every single sermon, what makes a Christian sermon, is that it calls sinners to repentance and that it points to Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, as the great hope for souls. One tension that people often bring up, or maybe a confusion that as you've come across, you've thought about, is the language of Hebrews 6. Now, at worst, this is used for some of the stupidest exegesis I've ever heard. Sometimes it's just a matter of confusion and a question of how does this balance, where does the tension appropriately lie? Here's what the writer of the Hebrews says. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of instruction about washings or baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. There you have it. Some people think erroneously. They will imagine that that means preaching the gospel is really important for new believers, for unbelievers. It is important maybe at Easter time, once or twice a year. But if you want mature Christians, if you want to really live in the fullness of the Spirit, or if you really want to preach the whole Bible, you need to move on from preaching about those simple 5 points of Jesus' virgin birth, perfect life, substitutionary death, resurrection and ascension. Surely there's more to speak about than that. The confusion arises, first of all, with a very poor, systematic, whole of Scripture view of what the gospel really is. We'll get to that in a moment. But at least if we look in the text of Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 1, the emphasis of what he is saying is not to leave the doctrine of Christ to go on to maturity. His emphasis is on the elementary nature of the learning about Christ. He doesn't mean stop teaching about the doctrine of Christ. He really means here, stop requiring a repetition of the gospel in its most elementary forms as if you don't know and haven't learned yet the most basic elements of it. He's not saying to move on from the doctrine of Christ, but have the foundation concrete set. It should already be rock solid underneath you so that not leaving it behind, but building upon it, you can build those more thorough applications of the Christian life. You can understand and learn the more thorough, systematic theology that the Scriptures present to us so that we are not thinking shallowly. It is a great rebuke if you can speak to somebody who claims to be a Christian and they are unfamiliar with any of these things. They can't give a good, well-rounded definition and biblical theology of repentance from dead works. Are they an antinomian? Do they know what this means? To be a Christian means to be repentant from our dead works. About faith towards God, can they define justification by faith? What faith really is? Do they mingle it with works of obedience? Instructions about washings, that's baptisms. The laying on of hands, that's usually the praying that would occur for saints, usually around baptisms back in the early church. About the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, right? The eschaton, what's going to happen at the end of our salvation as we're glorified and we walk in newness of life in the new heavens and the new earth after the judgment of Jesus. If people are shady on any of these things, it is a great shame to them as a Christian. And the writer of the Hebrews is saying, this should be your bread and butter. I shouldn't have to come back and reteach you the basics because you've forgotten them or moved on from them. Here's my question. What is the greatest and most sure way to make sure that Christians do not become unfamiliar with the elementary doctrines of Christ? It is to frequently and emphatically teach upon them, while not failing also to build upon it the full breadth of what Scripture says to us. So preach the gospel frequently, without failing to expand its application and look at the full breadth of what Scripture teaches. Paul's language for this, we could look in Acts chapter 20, was that as he's speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he summarizes for us his entire ministry among them for over 2 years. So that's a morsel of Scripture. That's a gold nugget for church ministry. What should preachers be doing? Well, here's Paul giving his own summary of his actions in a place for over 2 years. This is going to be gold. And he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Okay, that's good. Preachers need to preach all the Bible. They need to preach all the books, all the topics, the hard stuff, the easy stuff, the grace and the judgment. There is a way, though, to try and emphasize the whole counsel of God in such a way that leaves behind the emphatic point of Paul's preaching, which was the gospel of Jesus, those elementary doctrines, those foundations of the gospel. So, did Paul preach the full counsel and everything, or did he only preach the gospel, saying, I knew nothing but Christ and Him crucified among you? Well, the other things that he says to the Ephesian elders are quite insightful. He also says here in verse 21 that he preaches in public and house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greeks, right, everywhere, all the time, to everyone, of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So he taught on repentance and faith. Then in verse 24 he says that among them he went about declaring the gospel of the grace of God. So that's another way that he summarizes his whole message was the gospel of the grace of God. Or in verse 25 he says that he was proclaiming the kingdom. So proclaiming the kingdom, testifying to the gospel of the grace of God, and testifying that people need to repent and have faith is at least the majority way that Paul summarizes his ministry of preaching the whole counsel of God. Now, you read Acts 19, when Paul was in Ephesus, he obviously taught on a bunch of other stuff too. You have the guys who need to get baptized, the disciples of John. Okay, so here's Paul. He has to describe how the Old Testament and John's ministry points toward Jesus, the Messiah. Then he's in the synagogues debating the Jews. So he's also teaching on how Jesus is the Christ of the Old Testament prophets pointing. Okay, then he also goes and he's starting to see people turn from black magic, from magic arts and the dark sorceries. So he's teaching on demonology, on spiritualism, on all these sorts of things. Then he's having mass converts from the temple of Artemis or Diana. So of course he would have been speaking about idolatry, demonology, again, false worship, modes of worship, the local church. He would have been speaking all about this. So yes, he spoke to the full counsel of God's word, not avoiding anything, speaking to everything. But we can see from his other phrases that he spoke to every point of application from the foundation of Jesus' cross. He spoke to every point of application from the foundation of the gospel of grace. He spoke to every wide and varied doctrine, which is good for our nourishment, but he spoke to all of them within the context of the kingdom of Jesus, now established by his blood, his resurrection, and his ascension. I hope and I pray at your church there is preaching of the gospel in the context of and as the culmination of the full counsel of God. You have